we'll avail ourselves of that. Because the church is in ruins, and so the gifts aren't with us. I mean, there's some, but most of them are out in the system. And so how are we going to get this ministry? Well, we have to avail ourselves of that which has been preserved to us and read. And then, I don't mean blown up and come and, toot our own horn, but I mean, we gather these things up, appreciate them in our own soul, and we can feed them, we can give it out as food for our brethren. And where that's lacking, I've noticed this, perhaps you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I've seen people who say, I never read anything about scriptures. And there's evidence that they haven't. You know, I mean, they haven't availed themselves of the helps that God has given. And so, it's somewhat like a brother said, that I never use notes. And this old brother told him, he said, I know you don't accept it. The ministry shows it, and I appreciate what you want to say. I'm not saying that we should substitute the writing for the Word of God. It's available. We should avail ourselves.
Joy in hearing the account of how the sixth little assembly is established in Brazil. Somehow the brethren in the north were meeting under a denomination, but they had the writings of Mr. Darley and Mr. Kelly. And somehow the pamphlet from Bodies Vivas got into their hands, and they noticed some quotations out of Mr. Darley and Mr. Kelly, and perhaps others, and so they wrote back and wanted to know why do you quote from these brethren? And of course, Brother Mario, he didn't know what they had, so he gave an honest report as to why they did, and that was the link that formed them. As they read these writings, they felt uncomfortable in the position that they were in. And so when the ground of gathering was given to them, they were a ground that was plowed and ready to receive it. So it shows how invaluable the writings of these mighty reapers are. And we can't exchange them for something updated. Because the longer we have it, the more invaluable we see the writings are in view of the darkness that is coming in.
So the fact before us, there must have been many fields in Israel. But here is where the food is necessary to sustain Ruth and Naomi is found. And the instructions are simple. If we can be simple in our walk with Christ, it's simply by taking notice of what the Word says and bowing to it, taking advantage of what God has told us, knowing that He would never lead us wrong. And the instructions here are, go not to glean in another field. Neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maiden. I think the fact that the maidens are brought before us here brings before us the simple submission to the Word of God. He was saying, abide here, and I'm here. And maybe to bring the thought before us of not going and using our own minds, we might say, our own intellect to approach these things, but simply knowing that Boaz did not lead us wrong and submitted to his instructions to abide in his field, knowing that it must be best for us.
Someone said that the law could say that she could come in and get a few pickings being along. We've read that in Leviticus. But only grace could say, abide here, fast by my maiden. And so the Lord would graciously want to encourage the unbeliever to drink deep of the things that have been provided, as we notice also that the vessels of water were provided for her thirst. But I'd like to mention also in verse 7, before we move along too quickly, that there was a lovely report that could be given as to Ruth and her diligence. And that is another thing that we need to make mention of with regard to progress, and that is diligence. You know, she She came, and it says she hath continued even from the morning until now. And then the last phrase of the verse is better rendered from another translation, such as Mr. Darby's. I'll read it that way. She continued even from the morning until now, and her sitting in the house hath been a little. Apparently they had a little shed or something that could cover you from the sun or whatever. And they would take a little rest in there, but her taking a rest was very little. She continued. So not only did she have the exercise, as we had in the second verse, that she wanted to go to the field and to get food. It might typify for us the exercise of wanting to come along to the meetings. Do you want to come to the meetings? That's good. But now, when she gets to the meetings, what is she going to do? Just sit there and no, we find that she is diligent to gather as much as she can from the reapers among the sheaves, from morning till night. That speaks to us of diligence, and that, we can't emphasize that more, that there needs to be not only the exercise to come along to the meetings, but diligence to try to pick up what we can. You know, it's possible for someone to come along to a meeting that's just filled with food. The reapers, as you mentioned, are gifted men, perhaps, and they could be pouring on food, but if I'm in a bad state of soul, or I have an apathetic state of soul, I may not go away with very much at all. So there needs to be on my part, as a gleaner, the diligence to want to pick up and to work, you know, put out the energy to gather the things that have been left behind.
In the epistles of Peter, in the first and second books, I think it's five times there, he uses that word diligence. And it's interesting that it would be Peter who would emphasize the need of that. Because he was speaking to those who were going through persecution and at difficult times through trials, but the need of diligence. And I suppose there's never been a day like today that it's more needed. But it was the spirit of this woman that caught the eye of Boaz. He fell in love with her at first sight, as it were. He saw her, and who is this? You know, I mean, there was something attractive about her because of the spirit within her. There's sometimes sisters wonder if the Lord has somebody for them, and they get a little impatient, and maybe young brothers too. But you notice that because she had the right spirit, her attitude was right before God, and she was gleaning in the right place, she caught Boaz's eye, and she, of course, received the ultimate blessing. But you remember David in the 86th Psalm, he cried, "Oh God, give me an undivided heart, that I may reverence or fear thee." So what we need, beloved, what I need is an undivided heart. And that's what Ruth had. She had a heart that was undividedly for God in the place that he had put her.
Verse 15, a little bit more in this, "Go not to glean in another man's field." We won't find Boaz in another field. But along with this, I have sensed that those who, if I could say, violate this principle of love, go into another man's field, that they strangely become disappointed with the assembly. And you kind of search it out, and you find out that this matter of wanting a partner, they have a prospect for another place, or there's more activity, or there seems to be more of what than what we have. And so we see the violation of this brings in discontentment. There was something that spoke to my conscience that perhaps we can be exercised about, and that is in connection with the young people and the spiritual warfare, that we may speak along doctrinal lines, we may speak along moral lines, and so on, and maybe short on the practical, of addressing things in a practical way that they're passing through in their lives. Now the assembly should have everything for everyone if we are subject to the leading of the Spirit of God. I say, this caught my ear, and in another place things are addressed pretty clearly and pretty straightly and so on, and this kind of drew this young person away. Now, I'm not excusing them by any means, but for our own exercise that we may be practical and address things when they come up in the chapter that's before us, rather than to dodge them or feel a conviction of it so much ourselves that we say, well, it's just better left unsaid. We lose when we do that.
I think we see that in the intelligent reaper. As we mentioned before, the reaper's prime responsibility is to reach down in company with those around him that field in an orderly manner. Then he would set up to receive and carry on. But Ruth didn't come and take something out of the sheep. She wasn't able to do that. She wasn't at liberty to do that. She had to come and pick up single pieces that were there, because that's all that she was able for. And when we look at that in a spiritual sense, if I have just been saved, I really may not be able to grasp this chapter in the order in which it's been put out. But I may have a very specific need, and the Spirit of God knows I have that need. And if there are those in the assembly who are being led of the Spirit, they may be directed to lay down intelligently one piece. He says, take it out and leave it there, and just so she can pick it up. And I believe that's really very important what you say. And it fits in here very well, because we do need to be intelligent as to who's there. The way in which the servant responds to Boaz, he asks her, who is this damsel? And he knows all about her. And I believe that as it's later on here, it's communicated to the reapers. And those reapers, I think this may bring in a little of a pastoral care, that they will be aware that there are those who are going through a certain exercise or a trial or have a need in some way, and they may take out of the sheath. They'll take it out and they'll lay it down so that that person can pick it up. But they don't do it in such a way as it upsets the reaping down of that field in an orderly way. We might find that there is a particular need here today of one person and gear the whole meeting to that one person. That is not really being an intelligent reaper. As a reaper, your responsibility is to reap down that field in an orderly manner, as we mentioned. But to make sure that we leave those handfuls on purpose. The on purpose, I believe, would bring before us, as you mentioned, being in, knowing that there is this practical need from time to time. And it's very important.
You notice that she was required to keep her eyes open, alert to what the reapers left her in verse 9.
Could we speak up a bit, please?
In verse 9, it speaks of Ruth having to keep her eyes open as to what was being left for her, so that she'd be aware of what her needs were, what was available to her. She also, to apply this to the assembly again, she was to, this here babe, as it were, she was to enjoy the protection and the shelter of the field of the assembly. You know, that's what it says. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art thirsty, go into the vessel and drink of that which the young men have drawn. So actually all of her needs were being met, but she was to be morally and spiritually, we can say, alert, aware of the blessings that were available to her. And the Spirit of God would do that for her.
And also, when we have the words in the latter part of verse 8, abide here fast by my maidens. Here's a little conversion that Boaz made in the sense of companionship. Companionship. It's important that we make right companions. And these maidens, I would assume, were in the field, were no doubt ones who were doing the same thing, gleaning. And the Lord would have us to have right companions, good companions, companions that would encourage us in the things of God. And that brings my mind to that verse in the 119th Psalm. Again, it says, I'm a companion of all them that fear thee. I'll have to just turn to that. I'm not sure if I got that right. 119th Psalm and verse 63, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. Not just know his precepts, but those who seek to practice them in their lives. And so the Lord will provide fellowship too. I know that sometimes some of the little assemblies so few in numbers that you might just wonder whether that's always the case. But generally speaking, the Lord would have us to have companionship in the things of God. That's important for progress.
I think that's a very important principle to develop just a little bit as well. It should not be an object to seek the fellowship. If we seek to be in the field of Boaz, there will be others there as well. We will find the fellowship in that field. But I'm under the impression this matter of seeking fellowship has led people into other fields. The object being the fellowship rather than Boaz. Boaz will always provide fellowship for us. They will always be with those who call upon the name out of a pure heart. So to make it an object can be a very detrimental thing to one's spiritual progress.
One more comment, perhaps, before we close. In the end of the ninth verse, she is encouraged to go to the vessels and drink of the water that the young man have drawn, it says in this translation, but I think more accurately that is that the young men draw. It's a present tense rather than a past tense. And gleaning in the field creates thirst. And he knew that if she was gleaning this hard, she must be increasing in her thirst. Now this brings before me the idea of our appetite growing, or the thirst being becoming more avaricious, And the Lord would have us to partake of the what's provided in the assembly. And the young men here have liberty to draw for others to drink from. That might be another point we might mention in the meetings, that it shouldn't be such a squelching of things by those who take the lead that there isn't room for a young one to ask a question, make a comment, and provide refreshment. And we all have to admit that sometimes we might be in a meeting and a young brother might just speak up, not say something too deep altogether, but it's just so refreshing. And the Lord makes provision for that. And so we like to encourage the young ones, if they have something, if they're led of the Spirit of God, that there is room for that in Boaz's field, and it should be in the assemblies too.
Reading this afternoon is in Luke chapter 2 and verse 4. I'd like to make a comment. A request was passed down to me from some of our dear older brethren here locally that they'd really appreciate if those that speak could speak up a little louder and have a little bit of a hard time hearing everything said. A little louder, a little clearer, please. Ruth chapter 2 and verse 4. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she carried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean into another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, to go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother, and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reaped her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed and laughed. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that which she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up, and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after that she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness for living into the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabite said, He said unto thee also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men, until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law.
That closed on in the last meeting as to what we would expect to find in the assembly. We have pictured here Boaz's field, and I think we can see the Trinity in this chapter. In verse 12, God of Israel is mentioned, taking on the character of Father, under whose wings thou hast come to trust. Then we have Boaz as a lovely type of Christ, and the reaper unnamed is over the reapers, as a type of the Spirit of God. So in the assembly of God, we would expect the enjoyment of the Trinity. We cannot reason the Trinity, because if we do, we lose our minds, but we cannot reject the Trinity, or we'll lose our souls. And then we have the lovely character of Naomi, which is the mother spirit in the assembly, an invaluable spirit. And I want to say that even in a day of weakness, these are normal things in the assembly. And then we have the reapers, as it was brought out, those that minister the word of God to us. And then we have the young men who draw water. Wonderful to have young men here in the assembly this afternoon who have come here to be a little refreshment to us, maybe in a practical way. There's the young maidens, that cheerful support of the testimony and helpfulness in practical ways. And then we have Ruth the Moabite, which is the gleaner. And many of us are on that ground here this afternoon, just continual recipients of his grace. So we can say we have received grace upon grace.
stranger, show whatever it says, Leviticus 23. And it's wonderful how that's couched in that chapter, and you can stand on it. But in Leviticus 23, let's read what God has allowed. And perhaps have in mind, very cool root at the time. Leviticus 23 and verse 22. And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest. Neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God.
It's also found in the 19th chapter in verses 9 and 10 of Leviticus as well. And what we might call a national poor law, that Jehovah would take care of the poor and the stranger among them, that they could come in and come behind the harvest and pick up a few grains here and there, and that way it could be sustained. And this is where Ruth comes in. And in a certain sense, that's where we all begin, don't we? We begin by getting a little something for our souls. We, in the family of God, you know, John tells us that they're babes and they're young men and they're fathers. But we all start as babes. There's no humiliation in being a babe in the family of God. If you remain there and don't seem to grow, that would be something serious. But we all begin there. We begin as gleaning the bits of food that we can get from the meeting. And so as we look into this chapter, we have to continue to see some of the features that mark Ruth as one who is a gleaner, as the unbeliever coming in and seeking to get what she can from Boaz's field in the way of food and teaching and so on. But also we want to, over and above that, as Brother Ron has been mentioning, that we want to see some of the things that should mark the assembly or the meeting. And the first one I would like to point out is in verse 4. Boaz came from Bethlehem and says to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answer him, "The Lord bless thee." Isn't that wonderful? There was a happy state of communion between the reapers and Boaz. And if this is not existing, we are not going to get the blessings that we see, as we see outlined later in this chapter. That is one of the most fundamental and essential things to the character of a good meeting where we're going to get food. That is that the reapers, if not all, rather all of us, need to be in a happy state of soul and communion and fellowship with the Lord ourselves. For Boaz, as we have mentioned, is a type of our Lord Jesus.
Just to emphasize that, I'd like to read these first two words this way. And behold, Boaz. Now we're going to have something here in Boaz as he approaches his workers and the things we find in this field. There's a special interest to us, a special importance to us. And I like to read those words that would just emphasize the one that has brought to our attention here. Who this field belongs to, the order of this field, the things that are found there that are a blessing to us today if we take insight into the whole Boaz and what marks him. Our God is a God of order, and this order is for our blessing. If we take notice of it, there's going to be blessing. If we don't take notice of it, we're going to have chaos. That might be one of the reasons that we find there's famine sometimes.
Another thing that marks the field of Boaz is that he has a servant that's set over the reapers. Now, we mentioned that that's a little picture of the Spirit of God. But it is nice to see that not only is he there, but he is given the presidency or the control of the reapers in the harvest. You know, it's one thing to regard the fact that there is a third person in the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, as all Christians, I would judge, do. But another thing to give place to the leading of the Spirit of God. And that is what we see here in this chapter, typified in this man that's been set over the reapers, that he really has power to direct in the field. And this is what another thing we need to be very exercised about, and that is that we seek to be directed, guided by the Holy Spirit in the meeting, whether it be for in our comments and in many ways. And another thing I've noticed too, perhaps another point, was that the reapers under which the they worked under the servant that was over them reaped in an orderly way. You'll find, as Wayne has already mentioned in passing, that they began at a part of Boaz's field, in one corner perhaps, and they worked in an organized way through the field. They just didn't run out to the middle of the field and say, well, this is about as good as to start here, I suppose, and off they go. There was direction, there was order. And I think that when we go through a chapter in our readings and our local assemblies, where we come from and so on, that some of these principles are very central. Not only to acknowledge the Lord, not only to be in the communion and the state of soul with the Lord, but to take up the chapter rather in an orderly way. And I believe that the Lord would bring out much more.
Who would know better for us what we need than the one who is directing the operation, we might say, in the field? And as you mentioned, it's a vital thing for us. We're going to get to the maximum, we might say, out of our times together with the one who is directing the operation, the judging servant, has the liberty to govern as he knows best. Where would you think you were at?
That would be verse 3. It was her hap to light on a part of the field that belonged to Boaz. Mm-hmm. So there was this is where the reapers and the workers were, apparently, right there. She wouldn't have been anywhere else because she had to follow along behind the reapers, so we would assume that that's where they were working and that's where she came in. Mm-hmm.
Of the field. Having been a farmer in the past, it is very interesting to learn that in the corner of the field is probably the richest soil, because when you plow around and you keep throwing the soil to the corner and to the side of the fence. So that when they came to this corner, why, they were to leave that corner for the poor. So in no wise is it an inferior wheat growing there. Now in our situation, the corner was too tight to get our equipment in there, so we had to leave it. But it was perhaps better there in the corner than it was in the middle of the field because of the richness of the topsoil. So we see that what is left to the gleaner is just the testimony that God desires his people to have the best immediately. I interrupted you, brother.
As a young gleaner in the assembly, we may sometimes feel overwhelmed when we find those that have been in the past for quite a while, and perhaps for me to say, perhaps we just feel overwhelmed that I heard one young brother say, I feel like an acorn among a bunch of oak trees. I don't feel like it could ever end, to let these brothers know. But, you know, there is a beginning, and there is line upon line, and you just take up the truth. Little by little, the Lord makes these things precious to us. But the important thing is that it begins, and we pick it up, and we begin to bring Jesus and be that progress and advancement.
I think that corner of the field, that's where the landmarks are. That's how which section belongs to who. That's a good place to start with the landmarks, that which our fathers have said.
Notice that these reapers always seem to be in the plural. They're mentioned together. We don't see them being mentioned as independent workers. And I'm thinking of a little different setting, of course, but in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, David is reviewing his faithful. And in verse 33, he speaks of those of Zebulun. Such as went forth to battle, expert in war with all instruments of war, 50,000. That wasn't what he was appreciating about them. What he appreciated was this: which could keep rank, and they were not of a double heart. And so these were men who knew how to work together, in the battle. They could move together in concord for one purpose. And I think that with what has been said here just now, this is absolutely vital. If we're going to get anything together, is that we work together. We identify what it is that the servant or the reapers has in mind. We identify what the Spirit of God is doing in our midst, and then we follow along in that order. If we don't do that, then we will be those who will be bringing in spurious things and that which just slows the meeting down, and it effectively ruins everything. And so how wonderful that if we can be very careful and just wait on the Lord to see where he's really going, and then there'll be profit for all.
Well, it says in Psalm 119, thy word is exceeding broad. Now, I like to think of that as the labor. Remember the labor? There was no dimensions given to the labor when they built the tabernacle or all the other vessels they had. Minute details given to the measurements and so on. When it came to the labor, which carried the water, and there was no direction as to how big it was to be made. And we know the water is a symbol in the Bible of the Word of God, and the Word of God is exceeding broad, as we have had in Psalm 119. And there are many applications we can take up. We could take up a chapter, and we could take it this way, or take it this way, and we can't, as I'll quote Mr. Darby, says, we can't hunt two hares at the same time. That's about the best way I know how to put it. We can't take up every application in a chapter when we set out. And as Wayne has mentioned, we identify what the Lord may have to bring out, and we seek to work with it. This is something that the reaper needs to learn. We need to have patience with one another because we all stumble along at times, but this is something that's another essential thing to having a happy and food-filled meeting.
The word here that emphasizes that it seems Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, this is what he said to the reapers. Well, the reapers seem to maybe have a little more responsibility here. He said, the Lord be with you. Important, isn't it? To be having the mind of the Lord as we approach the different things in the Word of God, the reapers would have a sense of the Lord's presence as they went about their work in the field of Boaz.
Someone has said that this is millennial language. Think of the earth in a coming day when they're going to be united under Christ as Messiah. Think of this working together and harmony and occupation and helping one another. Someone has said it's nice if this millennial language has a reflection in our day. We greet one another the same concern and care.
This is manifested in Boaz's field, was it not, all that he was speaking of? And here's Ruth, she's brand new to the land, like a new believer, walks into the land. How many fields were there? Thousands, I'd imagine. I wasn't there, but she led providentially into that field where Boaz's servant is over, and where she, where the Lord knows that she is going to get food. She could have easily strayed, I suppose, if she'd used her own will into any other field. Maybe get little food today, not food tomorrow. Maybe she has to wait a week or a month, but the Lord brings her in to the place where things are done orderly, where the servant is honored, and she's going to be fed. That speaks loud and clear today. That's what we had one earlier week. Someone mentioned this, there's a book written many centuries ago, very applicable to us right now.
We chose the favor of God, doesn't it? We only recognize it earlier than perhaps yours did, when she said, blessed be he of the Lord. And I was thinking, as a new believer, of having been shown the favor of God and being blessed through the assembly, I came across that orchard known to many in Genesis chapter 24 of the servants. Again, a picture of the Spirit of God, but I just enjoyed it. The thought of him as a picture of a believer as well when he said those words. I being in a way. In what finds us in a way but the grace and favor of God? And what leads us? Well, let me read it. I being in a way, the Lord led me to the house in my master's presence. A sense of divine favor in my life that not only has redeemed my soul from hell, but has that favor of God shown upon me to be strong, not just in any field, but to the field of glory. There were other fields around, but there was the field of glory that had been by grace brought to as the favor of God. Nothing I can claim of myself, but the favor of God.
One might just view this as being a coincidence, but in the life of a believer, the Lord is watching over, and it's not coincidence that she landed at this place. Speaking of that, a sixth verse now, you find that the servant that was over the reapers answered and said, it's the Moabitess damsel, and so on. Boaz had asked the servant, whose damsel is this? And he gives an answer. The point here, I think, is that the Lord takes notice of each and every one. You're not lost in the crowd with the Lord. You may come into a meeting and sit down and, like you say, I feel like an acorn amongst oak trees, but the Lord takes notice right away. I don't suppose everybody else maybe in the field noticed, but the Lord did. And you find that Boaz here is talking to the servant. I like to think of that as perhaps the Godhead in counsel, as they view the progress of an individual and how that the interest of heaven is interested in your progress and mine.
It reminds us that when the acorn is an oak tree, and that in every oak acorn there's the potential for much blessing. But of necessity, we must have the spirit of Ruth. That is, there no doubt have been many gleaners. It doesn't say it, but imagine there were a number that were in the field. But it only speaks of this one who had a particular spirit of humility, of humbleness, who was willing to get out there and work. And she, by doing so, in this service of humility, if it was a word, she put herself in a place of blessing. And of course, her faithful gleaning was a service to Naomi. She had something for her too, I mean. So I don't know if we ever want to get beyond, I think it's already been emphasized, the thought of being a gleaner, a humble gleaner. Someone has said, I think, that the older we get, the more the character of a child we should take. We should become more simple in our trust, so more simple in our confidence in the Lord, our faith, and so on. So may our Lord never, may we never get beyond the point where we feel that we've attained to some degree of, well, we never have any more to glean. I think that, remember in the fourth chapter of Acts, there was the man who was sitting outside of the temple begging alms, so that he was there expecting something. That's a good thing to do when we come to meeting as a younger believer, as any believer, they come expecting. Remember, Peter said, well, silver and gold I have none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, get up and walk. Rise up and walk. And so he rose, and of course, his rising and walking and jumping it caused many to give praise to God. But what I'm trying to say is that he came expecting. And he just expected to get some silver and gold. But what did he get? He got life, as it were. So I think that we ought to be encouraged that when it comes to a meeting, as some of the simple weaner expecting. Boaz, give us a blessing, huh? what you've mentioned there is somewhat in 1 Peter chapter 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. It's not that he's telling us to be babies, but if in that manner in which a babe desires the milk, that we desire the word of God. I was thinking that Ruth was not, he mentioned that there were possibly other gleaners in the field. They may have been the typical welfare cases of the day, but this is not Ruth. She was different, and she was different by way of her desire. I look at Ruth there in that field as, even from verse 2, how she says, let me now go into the field. She had a real desire. They'll try to get something. And a person in this condition is a sponge. And let's be honest, a person like this is going to pick up anything. It's very important what field they get into. And it's very, very important what they hear and take up with when they get into that field. And we are very responsible for that. That's why it says in 1 Corinthians 14 that we are to judge one another's ministry. And if there is something that is given out that is not of God, it should be taken up for this very reason.
You can imagine too that Ruth may have asked the question, what right or what title do I have to gain anything for myself here? I'm a Moabite damsel, and that not by my own declaration. That's what they say of me. But then later in the chapter we read in verse 21, and Ruth the Moabite said, He said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young maidens, not by my young men, until they have ended all my harvest. That was her title to blessing. It was the word of Boaz to her. And that's the title of our blessing too. It's what God has said to me as a sinner. And she entered that door and she gained blessing. She gained far more than blessing. She gained a title within. But she didn't begin that way.
I wonder if we could also say that by the grace of God, we have had some very able readers. We can look back to some of the writings of the early brethren that have spent their lives, you might say, to draw to the surface these things that we can just sort of pick up along the way and enjoy. We've had some very able men, that's right, and thank God for that. The things that have been brought out of Boaz's field are of vital importance for us and of real value to us. And there's been a few handfuls of purpose of these things that have been left for us to enjoy as well. So I think we have to be alert to what we've been blessed with. God has given us in this field many wonderful things. And if we can see that we have these handfuls of purpose left for us to enjoy, well, would to God that we would go after them, pick them up, and keep them out, so to speak, and make them our own. There's been some very able readers that have passed this way here before.
I remember standing behind the two Browns years ago over the wall of the conference, and one of them said to the other, he said, brother, what do we have that we haven't got from the writings? And the other brother said, nothing. And so these things have pretty much been brought back to the surface by God. He viewed a certain man, and he promised to do that in the church of Philadelphia. And so if we stray from those things, if any of those things have been preserved for us.